Now, over on the Red Line, you can find the music of the Boston area band Session Americana. They've been called a roots band, a folk act, a genre-straddling rock band. No matter what you decide to call them, they're proud to call themselves a New England act. Four members joined us in our studio. Ry Cavanaugh on guitar, Dinty Child on mandocello, Jim Fitting on harmonica, and percussionist Billy Beard. They gathered around our mics to play some tunes and talk about the importance of musical collaboration. And they began by playing one of Jim Fitting's songs, The Coal Burner.
It burns coal, running through my heart. Obsolete and old, thrown out smoke and spark. Yeah, it burns fire, a dirty suit and fire. Oh, won't you take a ride on that train running through my heart?
Drummer Billy Beard told us the band got started when a few of them crossed paths at Toad, a little music club in Cambridge.
Rye and I were playing in a band together as originally part of a weekly residency that involved two bands, and a third band had come in and asked to play a late set. And we finished our set 1 week and broke all the gear down. Everything was packed up, and the third band never arrived. So Rye said, I've got an idea. And he just reached up and pulled three microphones off the stands, and we sat at a little small table in front of the stage and taped the microphones with duct tape down to the tabletop. And we all sat in around the table as tightly as we could. And there was a bunch of other players there as well. And the idea was just like, whoever's got a song, let's just sing it. We'll just sit here at the table. And it was really quite magical because it was loud and boisterous prior to that. And within the first, you know, half verse of the first song, the place was really transformed. And everybody came up close to the table. The whole place quieted down. And it just created this sense of intimacy that had not been there prior to that. And I think the light bulb went off for Mr. Cavanaugh at that point.
So not even on a stage. You were just literally gathered around a table.
Yeah.
I think one of you, maybe on your website, you describe it as sort of this ragtag jam at this little local club. That's
right.
How you started.
Yeah.
And you become a real thing.
Yeah. Well, it was, well, the members were picked.
It took a long time. You see, we it was really loose for about 2 years. And the six of us kind of had built a repertoire together, and we were like, I don't know, should we, you know, try to go in the studio and put some songs around. And we still felt at that point even very much part of a wider community. Like, our first record's full of like dozens of other singers. Just over time it evolved.
And Ride the Band is going to play another song for us. What song is that?
This is a song I wrote called You and Me.
Guitars, be a dime a dozen, and old cars wouldn't be rusting. Old blues get infused with some new steps danced on, new shoes between you. We'll be right back.
the votes, they will be counted. So clear your throats and shout a little louder. Say what you want, get what you need. Is it too much to ask for what's in between you and me? You and me, you and me. You and me, you and me, you and me.
So when it comes to what you play,
yeah,
you've described it as a mixture of a lot of things, or maybe a bunch of separate things: rock and roll and blues and folk and country and bluegrass and pop, and the name suggests Irish. And there was somewhere, Rye, in an interview where you said, at the end of the day, Session Americana is a rock band. So what are you?
Yeah.
What are we?
Well, I mean, the only way to answer that question is to go back to an era when all those labels meant nothing to anyone. In the late 50s, rock and roll had just been invented as an idea, and that was kind of the first sort of label. And rock and roll held blues and folk and country for a long time, until by the mid-70s and 80s and the 90s, it's terrible because every single little thread of music has a different label, like, you know, Americana roots, or is it Americana folk, or is it folk pop, or is it, you know, all these sorts of things. Our music, sky's the limit. I mean, we'll play Burt Bacharach, and we will play Prince, and we write our own songs, and we don't have any sort of cap on whether our songs can be poppy or rootsy or rock or one chord or seven. Or
we also want to play a recording of a Beastie Boys song that you sent over to us. Tell us the story about why you were ever playing Beastie Boys.
It's a great song.
It's that
simple.
That's
all I can say. Yeah. It's like as good as any Chuck Berry song. And, yeah.
Man, you wake up late for school, man, you don't want to go. Yes, your mom, please, but she still says no.
You've talked about collaborating a lot. That's a big part of what you do. So you have the opportunity to perform in a lot of different venues. Do you end up seeing people that interest you, their sound interests you, and you decide we want to somehow latch on to that person and or bring them into us? How does collaboration work for you?
Absolutely.
I'm curious what Jim thinks about this.
Well, no, we do. You know, it's Cambridge, Somerville, Boston, the music scene here. There's a lot of people, a lot of currents that cross each other. And so, I mean, a lot of the collaboration comes from that, because we just know we've been around for a long time and playing in different bands. We have a ton of friends. So Rose Polanzani, who we did a record with, she came into one of those Sunday nights at Toad, and she sang a song with us, and we just hit it off like that.
Rose Polanzani is someone that you've called an unknown pop genius. And I think, again, somewhere in your website, you said you called her the co-chair of the local folk pop's root scene, you guys being the other co-chair.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting about Rose, so you've played with her, she's played with you, is that right?
Many times.
A lot.
There are six of you in Session Americana, mm-hmm. all men.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
bringing a woman in actually brings a very different voice. And does it also bring a very different style?
Not style, but we definitely like having women in with the band, because it does a whole different thing. We really like spreading it around to different styles, and having a woman's voice in there is a fantastic part of it. You know, it just gives it a whole different thing.
Rye, I think it was an email you traded with one of our producers, Jess Alpert, and you said that Rose is sophisticated and feminine to our rowdy and rugged.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Nicely said, Rye.
That is good. Yeah.
Does that change the music?
Yes.
Well, see, when we approach Rose's stuff, I mean, we have a different approach to some of her music.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if we do a Jim tune, it's going to pick up and rock pretty hard. There's going to be a lot of subtlety there. No offense, Jim.
This is a Jim fitting tune.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah. But with Rose, you know, she writes these sort of delicate sometimes tunes, and it allows us to kind of paint with a different set of colors. Same instruments, but maybe just arranged differently.
Daddy of Queen Anne's Lace in Lynn. She blows me like a devil, devil trying to make this sister a win.
And I would add, too, that really from the outset when...
This is Billy Beard.
Yeah. From the Toad days, there were sort of guests that were divided into formal guests that sort of had an invitation that we wanted to have sent in with us, and the informal guests that we happened to see out in the crowd. And they would just come up and do something completely spontaneous. We didn't rehearse or anything. And as that idea pushed along and we eventually moved out of Toad and onto a bigger venue, we started to think, like, who out there could we get that's completely not in this root scene? Who can we pull in that would be really add something unusual to what we do?
Billy Beard, you just referenced the root scene. I think you called it root music. I'm not sure that many people have heard that or know what it means. How do you define what that means?
Well, it's another sub-thread that has evolved, and it includes Americana. It would include country. It would include folk. It's music that's based on roots, and it's very prevalent in the Cambridge Somerville music scene.
Roots meaning the roots of whatever the music has grown into in this country or this region.
Yeah, so if you look at, like, country music, for instance, modern country music, you know, people have an idea about what that's supposed to sound like, you know. And so the country piece of roots maybe is a little more open-ended than the sort of pop version of country now. So they've got these other categories they have to invent because country's become so narrow that it doesn't include a lot of other stuff.
But at least with country, people know what they're getting. I mean, with you, they can get so many different things.
That's true.
There be a risk to not being well-defined?
Oh, totally.
Yes. There can be a risk, but we find just the opposite. We find that...
This is Dinty.
Yeah, Dinty, sorry. That... Maybe it's hard to describe to people what we do or what it's like to come see us, but once they do, they're completely sold. And we get a lot of kids. We get a lot of 21, 22, 23-year-olds who come to our shows, and I think it's because it's a whole different way of making music to them, and it's not a defined thing, and it's not categorized, and we're not a... emo thrash band or whatever. And if you go back to the old country music, it's the weird, crazy old dark Appalachian stuff. You know, there's all kinds of things back there. And that's true for a lot of the blues and a lot of the quirky original stuff. And that's more of the stuff that we latch onto, I think.
I want to talk more about the collaborating, the sort of the spotting you do when you see or hear people you like. Do you think you do that to an unusual degree or more than a typical band, sort of bring people in and out very flexibly?
I think we really do. The format is open. When we play, because we use ambient mics, it's very easy for us to involve another person. And we also are all multi-instrumentalists.
Ambient mics, so they don't have to be all that close to you and they can still...
Yes, so we don't need to have a mic set up for them. We don't need an amp for them. We don't need to set anything extra up for them. We just pass them our guitar or sit them down at the organ. But we've actually made it a mission of ours everywhere we go. If we go to Vermont, we want to meet those people. We want to have people that we connect with musically there. We just played in Eastern Maryland, and we had one of the girls who works at the theater as a singer. She knew a couple of Rose's tunes, and we said, come on up and sing with us.
Is that not because you're looking for a potential new band member, but just because it stretches you at that particular venue at that moment to try something new?
It behooves us because the community is involved with what we're doing. We're not presenting. This is not Boston, you know, original music. We want to go in and be part of something that's happening there. And I think when the audience sees that, they're drawn in. It makes our show so much more entertaining because I feel like if you're a good entertainer, you want to let people into what you're doing, and that's one way to do it.
There's a band in Rhode Island, Low Anthem,
that
I think you guys have raved about.
Oh, they're great.
We've had members that have come to see us that have sat in. Most recently, Jossie Adams has done two or three shows with us as a featured guest, so she'll sit down and do four songs of hers or that she's picked, and we're sort of the backup band.
That we learned.
That we learned, ahead of time. And other times, we'll just, you know, she'll come in and play something and be part of the band.
So you talked a little earlier about what playing with Rose Polanzani, how that changes. How is the way that your band changes when you play with Low Anthem different than when you play with someone like Rose?
Well, Jossie's is a quirky sprite of a singer. I mean, she's sort of unlike anyone else that I've played with. She's, I think, you know, we bonded on this incredible singer, Michael Hurley, because she comes from this almost playful, silly piece, but with an edge that's sort of spooky and dark to it, if you can imagine that.
Who could hear?
So everything changes. We played as a band, I would say, less notes in that show than we played in a long time, because we really wanted her to have the range. She changes tempos a lot. So we approached her very delicately, but I think it was really a lot of fun working with her. So
when you play with other musicians, is it more than just wanting to create relationships that create new opportunities and new clubs in other places? So is it not just the sort of marketing aspect of it, but also what it does for you as a band musically?
I like to think we're part of a conversation about what American music is, what New England contribution to American folk music, roots music is, and I feel like meeting all these people and being able to play with them allows us to kind of keep growing. That's a great reward.
Billy and Jim and Dinty and Rye of Session Americana, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Stuck
You can check out a video of Session Americana playing in our studio and learn more about the band's upcoming show at Club Passim on our website, wbur.org/Boston.
It burns cold, but running through my heart. Obsolete, I know. Going out small dance bar. Yeah.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Happy Thanksgiving, and join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston. 1, 2, 3.